to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from a hidden place in the wilderness, I bid you hello and I welcome you to another session where we will examine our plight and offer insight and hope for the hungry soul. And from this location, I must report that the land of America is now becoming the land of want and bitter herbs. The land of plenty has been reduced to the place of desolation and betrayal. America is feeling the sting of thorns and thistles, and her place setting is now broken pottery. It's happening, folks. Turmoil is the new economy, and chaos is becoming a part of everyday news. And today I'm going to address these matters head on, not as a report, but as an assignment to encounter and face the trials, the struggles, and the disappointments that many people are now facing. And ladies and gentlemen, this is going to become a theme for a while. It's going to be a theme to try to help and encourage all of you that are out there, because I know it's not easy out there. I myself have been facing difficulties lately, but I've also been seeking God for resolve and for strength. So I'm under a directive at the moment from God to help all of you with encouragement in the midst of the struggle that we're now facing here in the United States of America. As I just mentioned, I've been absent for a little bit, and I know that I have, and the reason for that is because I've been undergoing some very difficult trials, difficult struggles. The enemy has been attacking me, but in the midst of these struggles, I have been able to find victory. And ladies and gentlemen, as I have been encountering the battles lately, I'm taking into consideration that we're now in a new era. All of us are in a new era. All of us have entered a new phase, a new chapter, a new cycle in the end time narrative that is now taking over this country. Now, in some previous programs, I was talking about how the darkness is enveloping the United States of America as well as many parts of the world, and how this darkness that is arriving, it's like a dark fog that has made it very hard for a lot of God's people to be able to navigate themselves and endure. There's a darkness of confusion. There's a fog of struggle and of oppression and sadness. And I have felt this thing arrive over the land. I've been facing it. I've been doing spiritual warfare. And for a while, I found myself battling it very strong. And when I say battle, I'm talking about battling discouragement, battling oppression, battling sadness. I have felt this attack, ladies and gentlemen, but I have been able to fight. I've been able to set myself apart. But I'm happy to report that victory has now arrived. So for some of you that have wondered, where's Nathan? Where has he been? That's what's been going on, folks. I have been battling this darkness, and not only battling it, but also seeking God to find out the ways to combat it, the ways to overcome it, the ways to be able to face it, so that I can relay that information to you to tell you what I have been doing. So in this program, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to address these matters in order to help many of you that are also struggling. Because I know it's a struggle out there, folks. I know it's not easy, and perhaps some of you have not labeled your turmoil in the way that I just labeled it, as darkness or oppression that is coming over. But that's what it is, folks. And for many of you that are facing this thing, I want to just place it on the table. I want to shine the light on it. And I'm going to do programs to bring encouragement and to bring suggestions and tools that you can use to combat this thing in your life. Because ladies and gentlemen, we're there. It's not going to get any easier. So the person that wants to be able to endure needs to be able to equip themselves with the right tools so that they will not succumb to what the enemy is trying to do in this world. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been praying over the last few weeks, and I've been seeking God and asking Him on the direction I need to be going in this ministry and in upcoming programs. And the Holy Spirit has been prompting me that we need to be concentrating on some spiritual matters and some matters of the heart. Because right now, folks, as you very well know, the news is getting dark. There are things that are becoming chaotic, and the news is becoming frenzied. The world is becoming frenzied. It's unraveling, and we're being bombarded with some pretty bizarre news and some bad news, negative news. It can be overwhelming, and I find myself at times feeling overwhelmed as I'm looking at all of these stories. The Ukraine's falling apart. We've been watching this thing for the last few months, since February, and the battle has started. Bloodshed is occurring. People are dying. And it's going to continue to unravel until we have full-born war taking place in the Ukraine, and then it's going to spread to other places. Also, we're watching the events in Iraq right now. It's amazing how fast that thing took off. Also, I'm noticing that the terrorists that are involved in this Iraqi demolition are very demonic, bloodthirsty, and the atrocities that they're committing in Iraq right now are beyond the pale. They're horrible. And it doesn't stop there, because the terrorists are also dismantling people in Afghanistan as well as in other parts of the world. In Kenya, that terrorist group that was responsible for the Westgate Mall massacre, Al-Shabaab, is at it again, and they're butchering innocent civilians in Kenya. And then we see America getting invaded from the south. Illegal aliens are coming in, they're pouring in, the borders have been opened wide, and gang members from MS-13 and these cartels from Mexico, as well as the other ones in Central America, are pouring into the United States. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been looking at this news over the last few weeks, and it is chaotic, and it's overwhelming. And I know that if I'm feeling the chaos, and if I'm feeling somewhat overwhelmed, I can imagine that some of you are also going through the same thing. And so that's why I want to talk about it on this program. So for many of you that are watching this happen, and for those of you that are trying to navigate these matters and stay informed with the news developments, it can become too much. I know it can. I know that it's becoming painful to hear and to watch. For some of you, maybe it's easier just to turn it off and try to forget, or try to ignore these developments. And that is a strategy that some of you could do, but in the meantime, things around us, they're getting weird. It's not going to get better, folks. And I don't come to you with this news just to bring you down and to bum you out and to scare you. I'm just addressing reality, folks. I can feel this thing that's now arrived in the atmosphere. And as I was seeking God, God told me that there are many of you that are also struggling with this. Some of you are, while you're trying to navigate the chaos, are also finding yourself challenged with hardship. Some of you are experiencing reduced finances. You have been a victim of the slowdown, of the economic downturn, of the recession / depression. And for some of you, it's coming to you on several fronts and in several categories. And I want you to know, my friend, that God sees you where you are. God knows that you're going through this. Some of you are facing very, very hard financial challenges. Some of you are going through some difficulties in relationships, whether it's family or marriage or friends. Some of you are experiencing health challenges, and some of you are not where you want to be with God. Some of you are struggling with spiritual matters. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that it's not easy. And my friends, God knows that many of you are facing a lot of these challenges I'm mentioning. Some of you are facing decisions and choices right now that involve very, very difficult maneuvers in your life. Some of you are having to choose if you should stay where you are, where you live, or whether you should move, whether you should stay at your job, quit your job, whether you should do some financial maneuvering. And while you're dealing with all of these personal matters, then this news is happening that I just mentioned earlier. So what is a person supposed to do, and how does a person cope in this? Some of you are asking that question. You've been praying to God and asking Him that, God, how am I supposed to do this? How do I cope? How do I sustain myself? How do I endure? And then on top of that, there are some of you that are awake, and some of you are very concerned about future choices. And then there's others that may be struggling and not doing so well with their spiritual walk, and you're struggling, you're fearful, and perhaps you're even out of fellowship with God. You're not where you want to be. And for some of you, there may even be a temptation to just quit trying so hard, and perhaps even give up on your faith, because you're being bombarded with thoughts that are challenging or even oppressive, and in your mind, you can hear the flesh telling you that it's too hard why even try? Some of you may be asking, why does it have to be so hard? So, folks, I'm mentioning a lot of different emotional things that could be going on in your lives. And I know that I'm mentioning many things that some of you may be facing, but that's where we are. When I was praying, the Holy Spirit let me know. He told me that there are many, many people frustrated out there and that I needed to address this. So that's why I'm talking about it on this program. So how does a person who knows what time it is walk through these things? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves and navigate and think? What do we do? That's what I want to start addressing for a while. I want to have some sessions that are talking about this. Now, I'm done with my Super Bowl Illuminati Unmasked series. That's already behind us. Now we have to address how we're going to face these challenges. How do we do that? Where do we get the strength, the information, the encouragement, the comfort? How are you supposed to find peace in the midst of chaos, my friend? That's what I'm going to be talking about. Because there are many tools that God has provided for us. And He has provided those tools so that you will not give up. He's provided us spiritual tools so that you will not be overwhelmed with panic and desperation. Because the challenge is going to be to not be overwhelmed with those things. So while we're trying to get a hold of the right tools, we're also going to be trying to undo the carnage upon our spirit and our minds and our will and our emotions. The enemy wants to bring carnage to you, my friend. The enemy wants you to feel desperate. He wants you to feel that you're only one flat tire from losing it, from exploding, from throwing your hands up into the air, into delirium. I know I'm describing many radical and extreme emotions, but I know this is going on in many of your lives. I know it is not easy out there. There's a lot of people that are overwhelmed with frenzy and fear, and I want to tell you, Jesus knows what you're going through. He sees you. He sees your struggle and He sees your pain. He loves you and He cares about you and He wants to see you make it. And there may be some of you that would say, well, Nathan, if God loves me, then why am I going through this? These struggles, this trial in my life. I'm there with you. I understand that you can have those questions. And it's normal to have those questions. It's normal to get discouraged. As humans, we will get discouraged. And so the great challenge of life is to be able to still walk through it in the correct manner by getting hold of the correct spiritual tools. And there are tools for us, folks. Again, there are very powerful spiritual tools that will help you to survive, to endure, to be strengthened, to keep a hold of your sanity, to be able to endure in the correct manner by faith and in His strength. But how? How do we do this? That's the big question. How do we do it? Well, that's our homework, isn't it, folks? Learning how to do it is what being a Christian is about. And learning how to do it is what being a disciple of Jesus is about. Folks, this world's in a mess right now. And as we advance into the future, I want to do my part to address these matters and to also help you to be encouraged. My friend, if you're feeling overwhelmed right now, please know that you can be encouraged. And some of you may be thinking that that's not possible. Some of you are really experiencing this darkness in a manner that you're tired of. That's where we need to get. We need to get tired of the darkness. And we need to get tired of our situation. We need to get tired of being backed into a corner or backed into a wall. So please know that God desires to be with you in your struggle and through your struggle. He wants to be with you through your challenge. He wants to be with you and help you walk through your obstacle and through the pain. God wants you to know that you're not alone. Well, Nathan, sometimes it feels like I'm alone. I know, but what we need to do is slow down. We need to become accustomed to some changes. You know, folks, there's an old saying that says the definition of insanity is to continue doing the same thing and expect different results. And even in spiritual matters, it holds true, because if some of you have been experiencing the chaos and it hasn't gone away, and there are some lifestyle things going on, if you're participating in certain things that you know you're not supposed to, then my friends, things are not going to change automatically. We need to do our part to make things change. So I'm going to talk about how we can do that. I'm going to offer you some tools. I'm going to offer you some encouragement and some suggestions. We're going to dig into the scriptures. I'm going to be doing a lot of programs that talk about these things. So I just want you to know that that's going to be the direction of Watchman's Cry for a while. But for right now, I just want to play a song that has blessed me over the years, and I hope that it blesses you. I'm Nathan Liel, and this is Watchman's Cry. We'll be right back.
In the midst of my confusion, in the time of desperate need, when I am thinking not too clearly . A gentle voice does intercede. Slow down, slow down, be still. Be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down and hear His voice and know time of tribulation, when I'm feeling so unsure, when things are pressing in about me, comes a gentle voice so still. So pure, slow down, slow down, be still, my child. Be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down and hear His voice and know
lovely song, and I played it to get us to do exactly what it said, to slow down, to absorb and contemplate and meditate on the things of God. And my friends, brethren of the faith, we must do this. We must take the time to do this. We must make sure that we include these things in our lives. There's a lot of turmoil out there. There's a lot of challenge out there. There's a lot of discouragement, and a lot of you are facing these things. And so I'm bringing this message to help all of you to be encouraged and to be strengthened. And today I want to talk about a portion of the remedy that all of us need to be equipped with. So I'm going to bring to you some information from the Word of God. And this is going to be a meal that I pray will bless all of you as you listen to it. And ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit of God can touch you. The Holy Spirit of God is the comforter. Christianity is not just some club that a person joins that occurs only in the intellectual part of our being. Christianity is restored life. Christianity is life. Not only in the life to come, we can reap the benefits of Christianity in its true form now here in this life. And you can also encounter these things. You can encounter restored mental health, restored clarity, restored spiritual health, restored hope. And while all the turmoil is going on in the world and around all of us, those that do not find rest in God will experience turmoil. They will experience the temptation to want to give up. And I don't have to tell you this. Many of you already know this. You know what's out there, and you know the battle that's going on in your minds. You know the battles that Satan brings. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus cares about you, and he loves you. And today, I want to offer some tools that if you apply them, will give you a new perspective and renewed strength. So today, we're going to break bread of the Word of God, and we're going to digest his Word. And as we do this, my prayer is that you will be encouraged, strengthened, and renewed with hope and faith in God. We're not just going to talk about the Bible or verses. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make progress with our relationship with him. And the reason to be strengthened is so that God can use you in these last days and in these trying times. My friend, God wants to use you for his kingdom. And you can make a difference in his kingdom. Every one of us are exposed to a certain circle of relationships and friends, family members, and we can make a difference in their lives. Because in addition to the turmoil that we're going through, we are also surrounded by others who are going through turmoil. So our job as the people of God and as the ecclesia, the called out ones, the remnant of God, is to make a difference in their lives. But first, we have to be strengthened ourselves. So I want to start off by addressing some basic things. If you've been at this long enough, you know that there are many parts to our relationship with God. There are many parts to Christianity. There are many parts to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is like a building that has a foundation. And the foundation is Jesus. And then on top of that, we build the house of God with other principles, other precepts. There are a lot of tools in the kingdom of God, but the most important part is the foundation. And while we're talking about the foundation, I think that the term quote-unquote relationship with Jesus is a buzzword that is overused. It's an overused buzzword that lessens and reduces the importance of our walk with Christ. In other words, it seems that for a lot of people who call themselves Christians, they use the term relationship with Jesus. And when they use that term, for a lot of people, it's more of a concept than it is an actual real thing. Because having a relationship with Jesus is more than an intellectual achievement or a milestone of our Christian walk. Have you ever noticed that, folks? People use that term, do you have a relationship with Christ? And it's used in a way that really doesn't identify the reality of it. Because when people say they have a relationship with Jesus, but then you look at their lives, the two things don't match. Their life does not exhibit that they have a relationship with Jesus. Nathan, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Folks, I'm saying that our relationship with God in its true form is not pretend. It is not supposed to be fake. For example, it's just like the relationship between a husband and a wife. Those of you that are married, you know this. We cannot fake a happy marriage. When a husband and a wife are happy with one another, it does not happen by accident. Being happy in a marriage is an ongoing commitment. It is a day-to-day commitment that requires a number of things. It requires communication. It requires having love for one another, having desire for one another, a want for one another. It requires that the couple are friends with one another. They talk to each other. They share everything. It requires that both parties are selfless with one another and they're willing to give of everything, give of their lives. It takes a lot of things to have a happy marriage. And folks, I don't have to tell you this. Those of you that have been married long enough, you know that it takes work. So a happy marriage is a marriage of relationship between two people, a husband and a wife, male and female. And it takes work. It takes ongoing work every day, not just once a week. In other words, watch this, folks. If a couple says that they're happy and they have a relationship with one another, could they get away with just talking to each other on Sunday or talking about one another or hearing about one another through a third party? Of course not. That's ludicrous. That's silly. That's absurd. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, that if we are going to endure the turmoil that's going on in the world right now, then we, number one, at the very basic foundational level, we must have a real relationship with Jesus. You need to have a healthy relationship with Jesus. That includes many of the things that a successful marriage includes. This is how it is with God. So we cannot say that we have a relationship with Jesus if the things I just mentioned are lacking or missing. I mean, really, could we? And if they are missing, if your level of communication with Jesus is missing, or if you have an ongoing commitment that is missing, or a desire for Jesus that is missing, or a love for Jesus that is missing, then can a person really say that they have a relationship with him? That they, quote unquote, know him? Wow, Nathan, you're putting it into such difficulty and you're making it harder. No, I'm not, folks. This is what true Christianity is. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They know. And if you were to do a word study on the word know in the scriptures, in fact, if you're taking notes, write that down. There's some homework right there, folks. Go to the concordance or go to your computer Bible and look at all of the occurrences of the words know when it has to do with knowing God. And over, we see the pattern and the theme and the requirement and the expectation that knowing God is the benchmark of a relationship with God. Because without knowing God, a person is not and cannot be his child. God wants to know us, and we must know him. It's a two-way requirement. So at the basic level, that's step one. So my friends, let's all be grown-ups here. Let's be honest with ourselves. Amongst all the listening audience, I have this question I just want to ask you. It's something to pray about. Here's the question, folks. How is your relationship with Jesus? How is it? Those things that I just mentioned, are those happening in your life? You know, the once a week thing, is that the only time you talk to him? Once a week? Once every few days? Once a month? Think about it, folks. And here's another question. For those of you that are married, think about this. If you try to treat your spouse the same way that you treat Jesus, would they protest? Would they be bothered? If you treated your spouse with the same level of communication and contact and correspondence and attention that you treat Jesus, that you treat your walk with God, would they protest? Or would they be happy and pleased? That's something to think about, huh, folks? If the answer to those questions are obvious for you, if you know that you're not where you're supposed to be, if you know that improvement needs to occur, my friend, the remedy is not impossible. It's not out of reach. It's only a sincere prayer time away. So I want to encourage you, if that's where you are, my friends, I'm not here to beat up on you and throw rocks and cast stones. I just want to encourage you to rise above where you are right now, because all of us have had seasons of dryness and isolation from God. But I want to encourage you, folks, repent of the things that should not be in your life. Seek him, folks, because he hears the cry of the wounded one and the contrite one, the sincere one and the desperate one. That's what he's waiting for. And I know that this is basic stuff that I'm talking about, but all of us started out with the basics, or at least we should have, which, by the way, if what I'm talking about has never been a part of your Christian walk and you skip that, you consider yourself a veteran. Folks, we can't skip it. There's no cutting in line and skipping over foundational things with God. Because all of us must know and understand repentance and salvation. Because if we don't, we're going to be as a foreigner in the body of Christ. Now, I have something to address, but I did have to talk about this foundational level because I don't want to skip over it. So if what I just mentioned apply to you, then let it be a part of your assignment, your homework. When I talk about getting ready spiritually, it's about this stuff I'm mentioning right here. Now, moving on, there is a message that I have that I want to share with all of you. And it's a very important thing. As I was seeking God, it was brought to my attention. So I want to talk about it. And it has to do with the stress, the worry, and the concerns that many people are facing right now. Because let's just face it. Let's just place it on the table and admit it. If you go to Drudge Report, there is crazy news. Over the last few weeks, it's become bizarre, crazy. Some people would even say it's scary, it's disappointing, it's negative, it's oppressive. It's like, wow, are we really seeing all these things happen at the same time? It's so outlandish. I mentioned them earlier, and a lot of you are probably wondering what to do and how to deal with all of this mess. Some of you are trying to be strong, but at times it's hard to be strong because you look at this news, maybe you take inventory or you're wondering if this is it. Is the war about to start? Is World War III right around the corner? Is the dollar crash right around the corner? Is this it? Is this how it happens? You know, folks, when it happens, it's just going to be that way. One day it'll be weird and chaotic like it is now, but then the next day it'll be like a switch flipped, and then we'll be there. Already the news is bad and negative, and it's affecting a lot of you. It has to be. I know that it is. It has to be affecting you financially or mentally or in your relationships, trying to get ready, trying to survive. There is a lot of things going on. And based on the emails that I get from some of you, I know it's not easy and you're struggling. So I want to address these matters, but I want to apply some spiritual perspective to them. I want to offer some spiritual tools that you can use to help you to function in a way that will not melt you and discourage you. Some of you might already be discouraged. Some of you might already be facing the temptation to give up or to turn off your awareness. But folks, the way to deal with these matters is not to turn off our vigilance. We need to be able to address these matters and face them in the right spiritual way. To do that, I want to bring to the table and talk about an incident that occurred in Scripture. And this account happened during the life of Jesus in his final hours here on earth. So if you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 26. And I want to invite you, if you haven't done it yet, get a pen and paper, take notes, and listen to this message several times. And also I want to invite you to share this with your friends, your family members, and let them know that this is a sermon for strength and for encouragement. Because I'm going to share some things here, folks, that I don't think you're going to get from the regular big box church found around the corner. I want to offer some hope and some tools on how to navigate the dark days that we're in. And I'm going to be doing this for a few programs. So this information needs to be heard by the body of Christ today, right now, in this season. The hour is late, folks. We're there. So we need to know how to navigate these times. Also, side note, for those of you that might be wondering about the Overcomer series, I'm also going to be working on those. So I'm going to be bringing these messages and also the Overcomer series. We're going to go back and forth, but I'm going to bring you some messages to encourage your spirit. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 26. I want to start off with reading from verse 31. I'm going to read a few verses here. So follow along. This is the account of Peter at the Last Supper and also when Jesus was in the garden. Verse 31, Matthew 26, 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said to him, Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, Sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, which were James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And so he left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now, it's a long passage that I just read, but there is a lot of information in these verses. There are many sermons in these verses. We could go into a lot of different directions in this message, but I want to concentrate on one of the truths that we can find in these verses. Now, when Jesus was arrested and betrayed, it was at night. And when we look at the scriptures, as a student of the Word of God, there are various ways to study the Word. One is to study the historical account to obtain and glean the truth from the historical account, which is what this is. This event happened 2,000 years ago. And then under the historical account, we can find different layers of truth. And the layers of truth go down very, very deep. For the person that seeks to understand spiritual truth, and for the person that asks the Holy Spirit for the wisdom to see below the layers, God will do that for you. And ladies and gentlemen, every part of Scripture has these layers. If we just look at the top layer and stick to the top layer only, and we don't glean the living layers that are found under it, then we would just be looking at the letter of the Word. And we will not be able to harvest the power that can be found under the layers. There is power with so much incredible truth to be found in the Word of God. But in order to find the treasure of wisdom that is hidden under there, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. He has to open our eyes. He has to illuminate the words. And when He illuminates, the verses will jump off the pages. And that is what's so incredible about the Word of God. To be able to read the Word with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit is such a rewarding experience. And those of you that have been at this long enough, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you say, well, Nathan, that doesn't happen to me when I read. It just seems boring. Folks, all it takes is asking God for the wisdom. Ask Him to open your eyes. And it also takes a hunger and a desire to let the Word change you. And it takes a hunger and a desire and a willingness to allow it to change you. For the person that is hungry for that, God will do it. In the book of James, he says, If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask and let him believe that it will happen. So as we're examining this passage, one of the things that we can see is that in the night of Jesus' arrest, well, I just said it. It happened at night. It was at night. It was in darkness. And in the night, Jesus got betrayed. And if we consider ourselves disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus, then that means that we also have to walk behind Him and encounter the same things that He encountered. And folks, if you are a true redeemed child of God, unfortunately for some of us, that may happen. Jesus said that to His disciples, which also applies to us. If you're taking notes and you have your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22, which is the same account of the the event that happened in the garden. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 28, Jesus said, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." In other words, you continued with me for 3.5 years. You've always been with me. It hasn't been easy, but you continued with me in my trials. So because of that, I will bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father has bestowed a kingdom to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on my thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, we may be called to encounter some pretty hard trials in our Christian walk. And even right now, in June of 2014, in other countries of the world, in the Middle East, in Africa, in Iraq, in Kenya, we're hearing about the terrorists that are butchering Christians, even right now. They're butchering Christians for not being Muslim. This thing is happening in other parts of the world, and those Christians are having to endure it. So here in the West, we don't have to endure that kind of persecution yet, but we may be called to do that as the days grow darker. And when we read this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus' arrest occurred in, quote-unquote, the night. He got arrested because he was betrayed. In the last days, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, many will betray one another. So just like he was betrayed and it was dark in the garden, for us, a season of darkness has come over the world. And I mentioned this earlier at the beginning of this program. The darkness is enveloping the United States of America in a very crazy way. And folks, this is just the beginning of the night. It's going to get darker and darker. And as the darkness comes, betrayal is going to come in the body of Christ. Jesus got betrayed on the night of his arrest. And he also told us in Matthew 24 that betrayal would occur. And unfortunately, in these last days, the ones that are doing the betraying are going to follow the same type of historical account that we saw with Jesus. And who betrayed Jesus? Was it some foreigner that didn't know him? Was it some bystander that met him briefly and then betrayed him? No. It was a person that was considered his friend. In fact, Jesus said that to Judas Iscariot. Jesus said, "Friend, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" That word was twofold, meaning, Judas, you're my friend, and really, you're going to do that to me? Even though you're my friend? Jesus was making it clear that, wow, you're pathetic, Judas. But Jesus was also saying that to let us know that it's going to be the quote-unquote friends that do the betraying. So in the last days, for us, folks, here's one of the sad truths of the last days. Many will betray one another because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will wax cold. Some of us who have friends that we consider trustworthy are going to be very disappointed because friends in the night will betray one another. And folks, if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, please don't be a betrayer. Please don't be as one who betrays someone that has your loyalty. Don't do that. Don't be a Judas Iscariot. It serves no purpose and no benefit for Christians to behave that way. Unfortunately, this thing's happening right now, folks. And there's going to be a temptation for many people to do this, to conduct themselves in this manner. And for those of you that say, "Nathan, I would never do that." I would not. My friends, if you only knew, if you only had an idea of how many people I have been exposed to who said that they were my friend, who turned out to be backstabbers. I have seen it personally, folks, and I just want to warn you. Now, I cannot tell you to not allow yourselves to become betrayed because you can't stop it when it happens. But I can say this, do not be as one who does the betraying. Do not be a backstabber. Do not be a Judas Iscariot. "Well, Nathan, why would I do that?" I'm just saying, folks, it's amazing what the flesh will do. It's amazing that the flesh will justify. It's amazing that Satan can put a fog of blindness over the eyes of people and make them believe that they're doing the right thing, that they're behaving in the right manner. So as we read this account, we see that, number one, it happened at night. So here in America, we're in the night. The darkness is here. Also, Jesus got betrayed. okay, here in America and in the West, in these last days, people will be betraying. Now, why will that happen? Is it that they just forgot that they're not supposed to betray? What's driving it? Why would people who acted as friends one day become betrayers the next? Well, Jesus told us in Matthew 24 why it would happen. He said because the love of many would wax cold, because lawlessness would abound. So, what do we have? We have lawlessness, which is iniquity and sin. So, for someone that does betraying, that means that they have iniquity abounding in their lives, or lawlessness in their life, meaning that they believe it's okay to betray. That's what lawlessness is. Sin justifies itself. Sin tries to make an excuse. And here's another thing that sin does. Sin and lawlessness tries to ignore the law of God, of the scriptures. And the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, specifically over and over, that Christians are not supposed to take part in betrayal and backbiting and slander. They're not. Saints tearing up one another. And folks, I could do a whole program on this. And the purpose of this message is not just to talk about betrayal, but, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important in these last days to conduct ourselves according to His Word. And if people want to excuse a part of the Bible and justify it, then when God looks at their lives, when they stand before God, they are not going to pass the test. They're not going to pass the examination and the evaluation. Folks, to conduct oneself as a betrayer of lawlessness and hatred and slander equals failure. So, for those of you that are listening, ladies and gentlemen, if you get angry with somebody, if you find that someone did something to you that you're not happy with, your job is to take that matter to prayer and to ask God for a remedy. Your job is not to go to every person that you know and start spreading all the slander and gossip about this person. Because even if they did harm against you, or if you believe that they did harm against you, or you suspect it, if you go and start spreading it everywhere, then that makes you a busybody. It makes you a gossip. And it makes you just as guilty. Also, if you start calling them names or itemize their relationship with God and say they're not a Christian and they're not this and that, and you start calling them names, my friend, you will be guilty of judging and throwing rocks at them. When Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone," He meant it. Well, Nathan, it's my job to warn the saints about these false ones. Is it? What if you're wrong? What if they didn't do what you think they did? What if they are not the person you think they are? It doesn't matter, folks. If you have aught against a brother, it is not your job to spread it all over the world. It is your job to go to your brother and try to redeem the relationship. The gospel of Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, peace with one another. Blessed are those that are the peacemakers, not the gossips, not the betrayers. So my friends, if you want to have victory through the darkness, you're going to be in one of two camps. You're going to be in the camp of those who are getting persecuted and you're crying out to God for strength, or you're going to be in the camp of the lawless betrayer, slanderer, gossip, backbiter, backstabber. You're going to be in one of those two camps, folks. It is not the job of a Christian to have the ministry of slander and gossip and backbiting. That is not a call of God. We cannot find that in scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. But unfortunately, in these last days, there's going to be a civil war of Christians who are going to think that they're doing God a favor by slandering and ripping apart their fellow brother. And sadly, they're going to pay the price for doing that. Come on, Nathan, you're just saying that because people talk about you. No, my friends, I'm saying it because this is what Jesus mentioned. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 24. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please hear what I'm saying right here. If you're guilty of what I'm saying, that you need to repent. You need to make it right. You need to cry out to God and hope that He doesn't hold this against you. Please turn to the book of Matthew 24. Let me read something to you. Folks, this is so, so important. If we want to be protected from the attack of Satan in these last days, if we want to have God's hedge of Psalms 91 over our lives, then we cannot be conducting ourselves in the manner of Judas Iscariot. Folks, we can't. Matthew 24, verse 45. "Who is the faithful and wise servant whom the master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Now, in this parable, Jesus is mentioning two camps of people. And he's talking about people who both consider themselves his children, his servants, his disciples, or in other words, Christians. Now watch this, folks. The first group that he mentioned are those that are giving meat in due season. In other words, they're encouraging, they're feeding, they're helping, they're strengthening God's people. They're offering meat in due season. What will happen to that person that offers meat in due season when Jesus returns? Jesus says in verse 46, blessed is that servant whom this master, when he comes, finds him doing that, offering food. Okay, now let's look at the other guy. Verse 48, watch this, folks. But if that evil servant says in his heart, now first of all, he's called a servant, so he's part of the family of God, but unfortunately, he has evil in his heart. And that's where it starts, folks. That's where betrayal starts. It starts in the heart, in a thought. It starts in an ongoing irritation of bitterness. I can't believe that person did that to me. Can you believe what they did? I'm going to call up Mary Lou and tell her what they did to me. And now I'm going to text her cousin, Bertha. Hey, Bertha, guess what? Type, type, type. Guess what so-and-so did to me? That no good, nothing, blankety blank. Spreading gossip. It starts in the heart, folks. Verse 48. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Now, most people do not commit sin if they know that in 30 minutes, Jesus is going to appear in the eastern sky, in the clouds. If people knew that Jesus was going to show up in 30 minutes, they're not going to go rob a bank in the meantime. They're going to try to get their hearts right. So for those people that put that thought aside, those are the ones that get tempted. But if the evil servant says, my master is not coming, and then look at this, folks, verse 49, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two. Now, what happens to the person that beats his fellow servant? So in other words, a fellow servant, a fellow disciple, a fellow Christian who beats another Christian, beating them up verbally or with slander or with backbiting or with betrayal. If a Christian behaves in that manner, and instead of offering encouragement, like the first guy we just read about, meat in due season, instead he believes it's his ministry to beat up on his fellow servant, what happens to him? Does he get a crown of life when Jesus shows up? For those of you out there that have a ministry where you have a blog that talks about the watchman, and by the way, I know who you are out there. There's some of you out there that think it's your ministry to talk about all the regular watchmen of God and let everybody know that the warnings aren't true. Nathan makes up his warnings. And you have made it your calling to have a forum or a blog and just rip apart the servants of God. You are fulfilling this verse right here. You're beating your fellow brother. Now, folks, please think about what I'm saying right here. And I'm not just talking about those that complain about the watchmen or others on the internet. The internet has done something very amazing, by the way. The internet has made it possible for people to hide behind a computer and lose their salvation. It's made it possible for people to hide behind a computer and do some very horrible things against the kingdom of God, against their fellow believers in Christ, against fellow disciples, because they get behind a computer and they become a mad person on a crusade conducting an inquisition against the family of God, against other Christians, always attacking. Folks, I have seen this too many times. I have seen this on my own forum. I've seen it with emails that I have received where people would just send vicious, venomous words that do not fulfill what I'm reading right here in the scriptures. The scriptures say offer meat in due season, or a word seasoned with grace, not beating up fellow believers. Nathan, why are you talking about this? Folks, because it happened to Jesus. And Jesus said, if we're walking in his footsteps, it's going to happen to us. But we have to choose which camp we're a part of. Are you a part of the camp walking on the Via Dolorosa carrying your cross behind Jesus? Or are you on the sideline throwing rocks, yanking at the beard of those on the Via Dolorosa, hurling insults, scoffing and mocking? Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is very, very serious. In the last days, many will betray. Please do not be a part of the betrayers. Now, I'm pretty sure some of the people who do conduct themselves in betrayal or slander or backbiting or gossip or Facebook ministries that just rip people apart or email ministries or forums who are full of anger and bitterness, who are easy to attack others. I am sure that many people who do this type of thing would never envision themselves being a Judas Iscariot. You never would. If you're listening to me and this is a part of your life, you do not consider yourself a Judas Iscariot or a betrayer. But my friend, the truth is the truth. We need to conduct ourselves according to what the Bible says. We need to conduct ourselves according to what the scriptures tell us. And the scriptures do not endorse this behavior. They don't, folks. I'm saying this in the best manner that I can, my friend. Please reevaluate your motives if this is a part of your life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be one of those walking on the Via Dolorosa and you're getting attacked by your fellow brethren, there's going to also be a temptation for you to react to them. There's going to be a temptation for you to respond in kind. And I'm here to tell you, first off, that most of the time, what I have observed in my experience is whenever someone has a vicious desire to be angry and mean to another person or to you, you may try to perhaps confront them once in a nice, kind manner. But if it fails, the best thing to do is just to walk away and just give them to God in prayer. Pray for their soul, but forgive them. Now, if the forgiveness is not easy to come by, and I understand at times it will not be easy, you may find yourself getting mad and angry when you think about what happened. But be honest with God when you pray for him. In fact, try this, folks. When you go to God in prayer, be honest with God. Tell him, say, God, I'm mad. What they did was not fair. It wasn't right. It was unjust. This is against your word. And God, I'm struggling with this, but please help me to not be angry. If there's a root of bitterness rising in me, God, rip that thing out of my heart. I don't want it. Folks, it's going to take some very, very hard strategy. And I know that this is not easy. But if we're going to walk behind Jesus and follow him, then we have to also be able to conduct ourselves in the best manner possible, like Jesus. So, as we're looking at the account of the arrest in the garden, this is the first thing that I wanted to mention and bring up. Take notes, folks. Listen to this and make this a matter of prayer. Now, I want to move on, though. This isn't the only thing that I wanted to glean from this account. So, what do we have so far? Jesus was arrested at night and betrayed at night. When we associate that with today's world, with today's weather, today's climate, here in America, it is becoming nighttime. The darkness is here, folks. In the night, if people do not have the light of God, the lamp of God, the oil of God, they will stumble and behave outside of the word of God. So that's why it's so important for us to not be a part of that. Because most of the world's going to do that. They're going to conduct themselves outside of the word of God according to their own heart, dictates, and mind, and nature. They're going to conduct themselves according to the flesh. But we are not of those that walk in the night. You are not a child of the night, my friend. You're a child of the light, of the word of God. Very, very important. The word of God is our light. Not our heart, not our flesh, not our opinion, our thought. It's the word of God, my friends. So, number one, it's nighttime and betrayal is going to happen. So, prepare for it. Prepare for the turmoil of betrayal and the temptation to want to participate, and the discouragement, and the failure of betrayal. That's one thing to pray about. It has to be on the table. It has to be something that we always have in mind as we navigate in the coming season. Now, the other thing that I want to address has to do with Peter and the things that Jesus said to Peter that also apply to us. Now, we saw that Peter had a conversation with Jesus. Jesus was letting the disciples know that they were going to be scattered. Matthew 26, verse 31. I'm going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Peter said, not me. Nuh-uh. I won't do this. I'm not going to stumble, etc. And when Peter said that, you know, folks, this is the part that if we're really honest with ourselves, we have to admit. I'm pretty sure that he meant it. Just like we would say something like that and mean it. Because who would say openly or plan in their heart that, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian until I have to confess Jesus and then I'm going to deny him? No one who is a true follower of Jesus would say something like that. So Peter meant it when he said, and even if all the others are made to stumble because of you, Jesus, not me. I will never be made to stumble. Now, even though Peter was sincere, here's the problem that Peter had when he said that. And this is something that we can learn from it. Peter was too confident in himself because he said, I will never be made to stumble. Well, what's wrong with that, Nathan? Here's the problem. His faith was in himself. Peter didn't say, Jesus, I hope that I don't, or I hope that I have enough strength in you to do it if the time happened. He didn't qualify it as one that needed the help of God or one that could possibly stumble. And since he ignored human nature and he had confidence in himself, then we know what happened. We know the story. He denied Jesus later on that night. But in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, if you're taking notes, write this down, folks. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, what does that mean? That means that if someone thinks, quote unquote, if you believe that you can stand in your own, if you think that it's all about you doing it, it's your strength, you better take heed and be careful, because take heed says, the original Greek word for take heed means to look at, to behold, to beware, to look on, to perceive, to regard, to see, to have sight of. In other words, to watch. So in other words, if anyone thinks that he can stand on his own, he better be watching. He better be careful. He better be vigilant. He better be doing everything he can to make sure that he stands. Because if he doesn't, he's going to fall. So what are you saying, Nathan? Are you saying that we are going to fall and we should plan to fall? No, I'm not saying that. I am saying that if we want to be able to stand, then we need to be able to stand firm according to the Word of God. We need to stand firm according to the correct method. And the correct method requires spiritual tools that are given to us in Scripture. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, the end of verse 13 says, having done all to stand, and then verse 14 says, stand therefore. And then it mentions the armor of God. So if we as believers want to be able to stand, we have to stand according to the Word of God using the correct methods and tools. And the tools required to stand are not mental, they're not intellectual, they're not according to man's clever wisdom, and they're not according to the strength of the flesh. They're spiritual tools. So when Peter said, Jesus, I won't do it, I won't fall, then Jesus answered him. Matthew 26:34, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. In the next verse, Peter answered basically saying, nuh-uh, Jesus, no, I won't. Even if I have to die, I'm not going to deny you. And then all the disciples also agreed. Yeah, me too. Uh-huh, me too. And Jesus, knowing that they were disciples in training, had compassion, and he didn't argue with them, even though he knew they were being silly. Jesus knew what was coming. And that's the great thing about Jesus, folks. Even though Jesus knows that at times we're going to blow it and fail, he still has compassion and patience. So as the night continued, in Matthew 26, they went into the garden. And Jesus took the disciples with him, and he said to nine of them, stay here, and I'm going to go pray over there. And then it says Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John a little bit further. Those are the ones that were closer to him, the three. And this is the other truth that I want to glean from this passage. In verse 38, Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Now, folks, here it is right here. This is what I want to focus in on. Jesus went on and said, stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me. And then Jesus went a little further and started praying. Why do I want to focus on those words? Here's why, folks. Because the climate in this account was dark. It was nighttime. And bad things were about to happen. We know what happens further on. But before it happened, Peter didn't know it was going to happen. Now, Jesus tried to warn him. It was going to get difficult, but Peter said, nope, I'm fine. I'm not worried about it, Jesus. So as the night wore on, the chain of events began to occur. Now, what do we have so far? We have nighttime, the betrayer is coming, Jesus tried to warn Peter, and then in the midst of this account, Jesus offers all of us a huge, huge clue, a nugget of wisdom to be able to survive the turmoil and endure the darkness. And what is that? It is the words that Jesus says in verse 38. Stay here and watch with me. Further on down in verse 41, Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. I want to talk about the word watch right now. And here's why, folks. Because most of you who are awake and regular listeners to programs like this one, you're watching, you're paying attention, you see what's going on in the world right now, you see the developments, you see the decline, you see the deterioration of America occurring, you see all of the crazy, bizarre things occurring to our country and to our world. You're watching us regress into a third world nation, you're watching the jobs go away. Many of you are regular news hounds, and you read that news or some of the other places that you can find the quote-unquote bad news of doom and gloom coming, of the New World Order coming. So you're watching all of these things happen. And as you're watching it happen, it's having an effect on all of you. It has to be. There's no way that it could not have an effect on you. And it's having an effect of making you perhaps angry or concerned. Maybe it's making you feel patriotic. You got to do something about it. Perhaps it's scaring you. Perhaps it's making you feel fearful. And from time to time, some of you find yourself becoming discouraged, fretful, nervous, worrisome when you see this news, when you're quote-unquote watching the events take place. And then there's some of you that maybe you're getting overwhelmed when you watch. Maybe you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm tired of all this stuff. I'm sick of it. It's negative. It's just making me worry. It's making me get angry with everybody. I find myself under stress and I blow up at my wife. I'm mean to my kids. I yell at the dog. I kick the cat. I have road rage. For some of you, it's really having a visible effect physically on you and mentally. So in your mind, some of you have actually thought this. You've thought, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to look at this bad news anymore. I'm just going to live my life. Whatever happens will happen and I'm not going to worry about it. And in so doing, some of you may find yourself just existing then. You're still miserable, and there's still some fear way, way deep down inside your heart, but it's the only way that you can think of dealing with this mess. And I'm bringing all of this to the table right now, folks, because when I was praying, the Holy Spirit let me know that this is going on with His people, with God's people right now. And in a matter of speaking, in a way, many of us, many of you, maybe feeling like Peter. You feel strong or you want to be strong and you mean it, but it's getting dark now. And now you find Jesus tugging you to a garden and He's saying, stay with me and watch and pray. Watch and pray. Some of you have heard me say that many times. I say that on my program. We need to watch and pray. Now let's watch what happened to Peter. Let's observe if Peter did that. Jesus told Peter, Peter, watch with me. Watch and pray, Peter. And then Jesus went to pray. He went a little further, and Jesus is dealing with His crucifixion and arrest that's about to happen. Jesus is in turmoil, and we know, of course, thank God, praise God, that Jesus did it for us. He walked it. He completed it. He is Lord. He was crucified, and He rose again. So Jesus had His trial, but Peter did not know everything that was about to happen. He didn't know what Jesus was going to do. All Peter knew was, up to that point, he was tired. Jesus said, Peter, in verse 40, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Now, let's summarize this, folks. Jesus takes them to the garden. It's dark. Jesus says, watch, Peter. Stay awake and watch. And then when Jesus checks on them a little while later, they're not watching. They're sleeping. Jesus says, what? Peter, you couldn't watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, or else you're going to fall into temptation. So, for every one of you that are listening to this program, my friends, most of you are watching. Some of you are getting sleepy at times and you fall asleep, but then you wake up and you're watching the news. You are keeping your eyes open and watching the news. But here's where it becomes difficult with this assignment. And I want to ask you this question, and folks, don't answer it out loud, but just think about this. How many of you, while you're watching the news, are also staying alert and also praying? While you're watching, you're praying. And folks, I'm pretty certain that there's a good chance that many, many of you are not praying while you're watching. You're just watching, but not praying. Now let's look and see what happens to an individual if they do not pray while they watch. Eventually, your eyes become heavy and sleep will want to take over. What are you saying, Nathan? You're saying that I don't watch? No, I'm saying that you get tired when you're just watching and you're not praying. You get sleepy. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that's what will happen. Now, why is that? Here's why. Because if we are watching and we're not praying, then we're going to find ourselves with the residue of all the stuff and the turmoil that we're exposed to, the sadness, the sorrow. And when we look at this account, we can see the same account cross-referenced in the book of Luke. The same account is in Luke chapter 22. And in Luke 22, verse 45, it says, when Jesus arose from prayer and he went to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Now Luke throws that in. Matthew and Mark don't say why they were sleeping, but Luke does, from sorrow. So Jesus said, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, or are you going to enter temptation? So now we have to include, if we take all the accounts and we put them together, then we can have the complete picture. So the complete picture is that they were sleeping because they were sorrowful. Now, why is that? Well, it's because previously at the Last Supper, Jesus told them that he was leaving them. He said, this is it, guys, I'm going to leave. And they didn't understand. The Son of Man must suffer. These things are going to happen to me. They didn't get it. But the main thing they did understand was Jesus was saying, this is it. Our 3.5-year relationship is going to be done. I'm leaving you guys. So they were sad. And I'm sure that most of them were crying. They had tears. They had been crying. What do you mean you're leaving us? What do you mean? I'm sure they looked to one another. What's he talking about? He can't leave us. He's our life. This is all I know. This is what I signed up for, Jesus. I signed up for you. You're my Messiah. What do you mean you're leaving? So they were sorrowful. When a person has sorrow and they cry, your eyes get heavy, right, folks? You know this. You feel emotionally drained and exhausted. So now let's add that to the equation. Peter is emotionally exhausted. His feelings were probably hurt because Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And it was probably bugging him. No, I'm not. It was on his mind, so he was sad over that as well. Jesus thinks I'm going to let him down. How can you not trust me? Jesus, I love you. And Peter was processing this in his heart from that point on, and he probably cried about that too. So Peter was upset, he was drained, and now it's dark, and Jesus takes him to the garden when usually on any other day they're already asleep, but Jesus takes them in the night and asks them to not fall asleep. When they usually would be sleeping on any other night, on this night, Jesus didn't want them to sleep. And now how do we apply that to us? Ladies and gentlemen, times pass, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The darkness that we have now over this country is the same kind of darkness that we see in the garden, where every demon of hell and throughout the earth was there in that city that night, fluttering about, making sure that they were starting to influence all the citizens of Jerusalem, because a few hours later, those demons were going to get the crowd into a delirium and scream the word crucify. So the demons were in the air. And Jesus was saying, Peter, watch. Don't sleep. And of course, when we see that on the surface layer in the letter, we see it as, well, he was sleeping. But that's not the only thing Jesus was saying. Jesus was also saying, Peter, it's spiritual darkness now. Do not sleep. Stay awake. Take heed. The spiritual realm is fluttering now. It's going to get weird in a little bit. You need to be praying right now because it's going to get bad. That's what Jesus was saying. But Peter fell asleep because he was sad. So how do we apply that to us? When you watch all of the news, when you see all of these events, these developments, these reports of craziness. Folks, I went to Drudge just a few days ago and I'm reading about this new terrorist group, ISIS. Which, by the way, that's a hint that it's satanic. Babylonian. ISIS. The female god, going back to Semiramis from Babylon, Asheroth. That thing has demonic all over it. And this terrorist group, ISIS, is beheading. the people in Iraq, chopping heads off. This group is bloodthirsty. Thousands of people are, they're getting mowed down. They're shooting them and dropping them into ditches. There's a horrible human catastrophe occurring in Iraq right now. Horrible. And I go to the news and I see this and I'm going, oh man, we're in darkness. And for some of you reading the same thing, it can be overwhelming and your eyes can get heavy. And there's a temptation to just want to unplug and go to sleep and not look at it because it's too much. But Jesus, on the other hand, tells us that when the darkness comes, we need to be watching not only in the natural and with our intellectual strength, but we need to be watching in the spiritual realm and we need to be praying. Watch the news and pray that we have the strength to endure and not fall into temptation. You see, folks, this is the formula that we need to add to our quiver of tools. If you're an awake one right now in these last days, if you're paying attention to what's going on, we cannot just be looking at it in the natural. As an American who's fed up, or as a patriot who's fed up, or as a Republican, or someone that's just sick of the mess, we need to look at it and be praying that we do not fall into temptation. Because as the night wears on, it's not going to get better. It's going to get more bizarre, folks. Let me say that right now. The darkness is going to get thicker than it is already. It's going to get more and more bizarre. It's going to get weirder. And we have to be making sure that as we are facing the turmoil, we do not fall into temptation or sleepiness. So, number one, Peter went to sleep instead of watching. So, number one, my friend, you can't go back to sleep. You can't unplug from the matrix. You can't say, I'm fed up. I don't care. I'm just going to go live my normal life. I don't want to even know about this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that you have to force yourself to read all the negative news. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we cannot ignore what time it is. Because if we do, then we're sleeping. And the enemy is going to arrive with torches and pitchforks and clubs and conduct themselves in the next phase of this crazy narrative that we're in right now. If some of you find yourself feeling that the news is too much, then perhaps you don't have to digest all of it so much, but stay awake to at least know what time it is. I'm not saying that you have to know every detail and just fill your mind up with all this negativity. If some of you are having a hard time with it, I understand. And I'm not saying that you have to keep reading all the news. You see, folks, to watch and pray does not just mean the news. It means to be aware of what's going on. By the way, that word watch comes from the Greek word gregario. It's Strong's number G1127. And it means to give strict attention to be cautious, to be active, to take heed lest through inclination to laziness, some destructive calamity will suddenly overtake. So take heed and do not allow laziness or slothful idleness to come in. In translation, watch means to be awake, to be roused from sleep, and to be vigilant. Because if we don't, the definition goes on in Strong's. It says, lest one falls into sin or is led to forsake Christ. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. And then I'm going to be finished. Peter did not know the things that were developing when he was falling asleep. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew that the bad people, the sinners, were assembling themselves. He knew that they were getting their little clubs together and lighting their torches, and they were on their way. He knew it. He saw them from a distance through the Spirit. Peter didn't see that, though. And how could he? But for us today, we have the scriptures to warn us on how these things are going to play out. At first, it gets dark, and eventually the betrayers are going to show up. And when the betrayers show up, what happened to Peter? He was suddenly awakened. Jesus went to him and said, rise, Peter. The hour has come. That's Mark 14:41. The hour has come. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Get up, Peter. Wake up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So Jesus is telling them, the hour has come. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an hour that is coming. An hour is approaching. already it's bad, it's weird, it's bizarre, but there is another hour on the schedule that is approaching America or wherever you may live. It is approaching us. And that hour is going to have in its wake even worse things than we're seeing now. And when that hour comes, if we are not prayed up, if we're not ready spiritually, then we're going to do what Peter did. And what happened? Peter jumped up from sleep. He was in a slumber. And all of a sudden, he was Peter the fisherman of strength and valor. What he did not have was a prayer covering, a foundation of prayer. He was not in the spirit. He was in the flesh. He awoke. And what's the first thing he did, folks? We saw it. You know the story. He pulled out his sword and started swinging. And when he did that, he had great intent. His intentions were good. His motives were sound. He was heroic. He was a man of valor. And perhaps in another situation, it would have been the will of God. But in this particular instance, it was not the will of God. Because there was a plan, a divine plan for Jesus to be arrested. So here's the other thing to glean. There may be times when using the sword is not the best method. There may be times when we need to rely on the spiritual tools that exist. Now, Nathan, what do you mean? This is what I'm saying, folks. In the darkness that is coming, there will be times. And by the way, I'm not saying that we need to be pacifists. Because in Luke chapter 22, verse 38, they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And Jesus said, it is enough. So, folks, I am not saying that at times the sword will not be necessary. I'm not saying that. I am not a pacifist, by the way, for those of you that are wondering. I, Nathan Liao, believe in self-defense. And that's another message. I can talk about that a lot. I do believe that it's a man's duty to protect his family and to protect the innocent from criminals and from pirates and bandits and thieves. I do not believe that when the beast rises up, we're going to be able to stop it. However, as the days become darker, I do believe that as chaos and anarchy takes over, then we need to be vigilant and protect our loved ones and our family from those types. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked with the question of self-defense. And if some of you have a problem with that, I'm sorry, folks. That's where I am right now. However, let me say this. When the time does come, when the grid is down and chaos has ensued and anarchy is the law of the land, perhaps during that window before martial law takes over, or even maybe during martial law, every single one of us who is a child of God needs to make sure that we are watching and praying so that we can know when the sword needs to be put away and when it doesn't. Just because a person has a sword doesn't mean they have to take it out of the sheath. What we have to do is have the will of God in operation in our lives. That means that we have to be walking in the Spirit. Now, when Peter conducted himself that night, when he jumped up out of a sleep, he reacted in the flesh. And I know that there's a human part of all of us that would say that was a brave thing he did. He was willing. And it was brave. But it wasn't the will of God. Which means that there can be some of us who are acting brave, but also out of the will of God. And folks, we don't want to be doing that. When Jesus told Peter, Peter, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. That's what Jesus was trying to tell him. Jesus knew that Peter was going to be tempted to take out a sword and try to whack the guy's head off, which is what he was doing. Peter was swinging at the guy, and the guy ducked or leaned his head over to one side, and that's when the ear was the lateral part to the ground, and the sword caught his ear. He was swinging across, and the guy put his head to the side, which shows that Peter wasn't even that good of a swordsman. He was a fisherman. He wasn't a fighter, a man of the sword. And because he was out of God's will, we can look a few verses before that happened when Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. What Jesus meant by that verse was, if you're not praying while you're watching, your flesh will be tempted to react. Now, Jesus didn't come out and say, Peter, here's the deal. The betrayers are going to show up in a few hours. You're going to be asleep, and then you're going to jump up out of sleep, pull your sword out, and start swinging. But when you're tempted to do that, don't, because it's not my will. See, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus gave hints, but he didn't tell the whole thing. And that's how God operates. He gives us the principles, and then we're supposed to, through the Spirit, fill in the blanks using his wisdom. So when we look at Peter and we apply it to our lives, here's the deal, folks. As we're watching and praying, we need to pray that we do not fall into temptation. as we're vigilant and observing the crazy events coming. We need to pray that God would give us insight, wisdom, leadership, guidance, that we will follow on His path, that our path will be lit by His word and His leadership. He is our shepherd. We're following behind Him. And God wants to use many of you to do some great things for the kingdom of God. But if we are operating in the flesh as we're watching, we're not going to be doing things for the kingdom of God. We may be doing it for the kingdom of some American country that used to exist. We may be doing it for some kingdom of the world that we're trying to restore, but we're not going to be doing it for the kingdom of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the biggest downfalls that happens over and over. We can read this over and over in Scripture. When Babylon took over Jerusalem and surrounded Jerusalem during the days of Jeremiah, the people reacted in the flesh. And Jeremiah pleaded with them to follow the will of God. The majority of them ignored Jeremiah. And as a result, they all perished. If they would have followed the leading of Jeremiah, the outcome would have been different. And folks, as we go into this darkness, we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because you as an individual, if you are a father or a mother, if we do have the covering of God, if we are watching and praying, then miracles will happen for us. God can blind the eyes of an evil person. God can disarm the weapons of an evil person. God can change the heart of an evil person that wants to do you harm. He can. God can show favor for you when you are navigating through the new world order that's coming. When the beast shows up, we're going to need to navigate in a manner that is under the hedge of God's protection. And we can only do that if we're watching and praying. It's so important, folks. So I know that I have shared a lot of things here. I talked about how we're supposed to be behaving in these last days through this darkness. I've also shared how we need to deal with the news, the way that we are approaching all this negative news. My friends, as you examine the news, in summary, include God in your plans. Include God in your walk. Include Jesus in your relationship, in your spiritual walk. Keep your relationship nourished. This means to pray regularly. Pray always. Give yourself spiritual food. Read the scriptures. Pray. Worship. Have a healthy walk with God, my friends. Because then if you do, God will honor and be able to use you. And then you will be able to fulfill the verse that says, "And the people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits." That's found in the book of Daniel. My friend, God is looking for people that He can operate through. He's looking for people that He can use to make a difference. And you can make a difference, my friend. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be down. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be facing panic and falling under temptation. You do not have to be a failure in the kingdom of God. You can be someone that's making a difference. Jesus is looking for those that when He comes back are offering meat in due season. Meat to the body of Christ. Meat to those that are downward. Meat to the lowly. Meat to those that are hungry. Operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Operating with the armor of God. My friends, God is raising up a church. A church that is victorious. A church that's making a difference. A church that's the light on a hill. Watch and pray that you do not enter temptation. My friends, let's all be watching and praying. For those of you that may be struggling with this, if some of you are not happy with where you are with God, tomorrow's a new day. There is forgiveness. There is restoration. There's strength. There's hope. The loving kindness of God is new every morning. Every morning. He's the God of restoration and redemption, my friends. And He's only a prayer away. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And God, I ask You to touch everyone listening, Lord. Touch them. Let them know the heart of this challenge. For those that are discouraged, encourage them in Your Holy Spirit. Renew them, God. Restore them. Fill them with Your oil in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. My friends, there is a journey before us. It's going to be interesting. But with God, you can make it. And the key to making it is Matthew 26:38. Jesus said, "Watch with Me." When you're watching the news, folks, do it with Jesus. Not alone. Not in your flesh. We can't do it in our intellect. We have to do it with Him. Because if we're with Him, then we won't be alone, and He will lead us. Well, I hope that this word was a challenge for you. I hope that this word was an encouragement for you. I hope that this word gave you something to think about and pray about. This is going to be the beginning of a theme. Please stay tuned for the upcoming messages. I plan to do some preaching, folks. The people of God need to hear the word, and I'm going to be bringing some messages to encourage you and to equip you and your family and your loved ones so that we can be able to navigate the chaos that is before us. Also, ladies and gentlemen, please remember us in your support. We're a little bit behind on some of our financial obligations, and those of you that know this ministry know that our motives and our calling is to help the people of God and strengthen the people of God. So I'm asking for you to remember us in your support. This program's for you, folks. It's for the benefit of you. My friends, if you're out there and you're able to do it, our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Again, my friends, thank you for your prayers and your encouragement and your support. I love you, folks. Take care. God bless. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Lay your burden down, lay your burden down, take your troubled soul, your tired mind, and lay your burden down, lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your worries to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden. Take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross. And lay your burden.